Welcome to our online press conference. My name is Tom Pelton. I am Director of Communications at the Environmental Integrity Project. We're a nonprofit organization that acts as America's environmental watchdog, holding polluters and governments accountable to protect public health and the environment. Today, we are having seven speakers talking about a federal lawsuit we filed this morning challenging a new Louisiana law that suppresses free speech of community groups to talk about and advocate for cleanup of dangerous air pollution detected by community air monitoring. Our speakers will be from Public Citizen Litigation Group, The Descendants Project, Rise St. James, Louisiana, Claiborne Avenue Alliance Design Studio, and MICA 68 Mission, and a leading scientist at Johns Hopkins. The community groups I mentioned are plaintiffs in the lawsuit. After they speak, I will open up for questions from reporters. Journalists, if you have a question, we'd love to hear it. Put it in a note in the Q&A tab at the bottom of the screen. So as we're going along and you have a question, go ahead and type your question into the Q&A tab at the bottom of your screen. And then at the end, I will call on you and unmute you. And then you need to unmute yourselves as well so you can ask your question. I notice we have a couple TV reporters with us. Welcome. For TV and photographers, if anyone wants an in-person interview or photo with good visuals, one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, Dr. Joy Banner of the Descendants Project, is available at 1 o'clock p.m. Central today for an in-person interview with good visuals and industrial background, about 20 minutes west of New Orleans in Vacherie, Louisiana. Please see the press release for the address and talk to me afterwards if you would like to get in contact with Dr. Banner for that stand-up interview with good visuals. So today, our first speaker is going to be David Bookbinder, Director of Law and Policy at the Environmental Integrity Project. Go ahead, David.
Good morning, everyone. This lawsuit is about community air monitoring and Louisiana's attempt to suppress community groups from doing air monitoring. People monitor for the simple reason of they want to know if the air is safe. They want to know if it's safe for them to breathe, if it's safe for their children, for their families, for the communities. They want that information because they live there and they want to know that everyone is healthy and safe. When, if you go out and you see your neighbor and your neighbor, you know, your neighbor has emphysema, you might want to warn them if you know, if your air monitoring has shown unhealthy levels of particulate matter in the air, you might want to say, Mr. Jones, perhaps today is not the best day for you to take that walk. And according to the state of Louisiana and the law that we're dealing with, that will cost you. That will cost you $32,500. And on top of that, LDEQ may slap you with an additional $1 million penalty because you knowingly and willfully gave that information, but you didn't use the precise mechanism, the precise equipment and analytical methods that Louisiana says you have to use. So, this statute is designed to discourage citizens from monitoring the air in their neighborhoods, letting people know when it's safe and when it's not safe, when it meets air quality standards, when it doesn't meet air quality standards. And as a result, we are challenging this statute. One thing, the Louisiana statute mandates that you can't talk about this air quality, unless you're using the equipment that they want you to use. Unfortunately, the equipment that they want you to use costs hundreds or even thousands of times more than perfectly good equipment that people can use to monitor the air in their communities. We know that this equipment is satisfactory because that equipment was provided in many instances. It was loaned by EPA to these groups, or EPA gave them money to purchase this low-cost and effective equipment. There is no need for these groups to spend $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 on equipment when, in fact, there is equipment that for $200 or less will give you perfectly adequate results for you to be able to tell your community, your family, whether or not the air they're breathing is safe. And that's really what the statute does. Back to you, Tom.
All right, thank you. That was David Bookbinder, Director of Law and Policy at the Environmental Integrity Project. Next, we have Nandan Joshi, attorney for Public Citizen Litigation Group. Go ahead, Nandan.
Thanks. Hello, everyone. My name is Nandan Joshi. As mentioned, I'm an attorney with Public Citizen Litigation Group, and I'm going to briefly go over how the Community Air Monitoring Reliability Act restricts the free speech of Louisiana residents. Now, despite its name, CAMRA has nothing to do with making air monitors more reliable. It is about censoring Louisiana residents who want to talk to their neighbors about air quality in their communities and preventing them from taking action to fight for air quality. So the first thing you should know about CAMRA is that it only applies to community groups. CAMRA does not prevent industry polluters or the state government from using air monitoring data to disseminate their message to the public. The second thing you should know about CAMRA is that the legislature wrote into the law that it wanted to police the accuracy of air monitoring information disseminated by community groups. This is a constitutional red flag. The First Amendment does not allow the government to silence voices that the government thinks are wrong. That is something that is, should be determined by the marketplace of ideas. And let's be clear, data from air community air monitoring is not inaccurate. Congress and the EPA have endorsed and funded community air monitoring because they provide important information about air quality in areas of the country not served by expensive monitoring devices. So how does CAMRA silence community voices? First, CAMRA says that a community group that wants to use low-cost air sensors to monitor air quality cannot use the information it gets to allege that the clean air laws have been violated. It's perfectly fine for them to say that air quality is good, but if groups warn their neighbors that air quality is below regulatory standards, the state can impose civil penalties on their speech. CAMRA also makes it unlawful for community groups to do their own analysis of air monitoring data. It forces them to provide a, quote, quality assurance certification if they don't use a state-approved lab to analyze their data. And the law does not explain what this certification means, but if a community group disseminates its analysis without that certification, the state can seek civil penalties against the group for engaging in unlawful speech. In fact, CAMRA goes further. It prevents any release or communication of monitoring data unless the group calls what the law states is a, quote, clear explanation of data interpretation, appropriate context, and relevant uncertainties. That is not defined in the law. CAMRA makes speech illegal if groups release their air monitoring data without providing the state-mandated explanation. And even if they try, if groups try to comply with CAMRA, they still might be held liable if those explanations are not clear enough. These restrictions do not only apply when community groups want to talk to the public. These groups cannot talk to federal or state regulators or make allegations in court unless their speech conforms to CAMRA's requirements. The First Amendment's guarantee of free speech does not allow the government to impose liability based on the content of speech, but that is exactly what CAMRA does. Under CAMRA, the state of Louisiana will watch what community air monitoring groups say about air quality and how they say it. And if these groups say the wrong thing or state in the wrong way, they could be held for thousands of dollars in civil penalties. It should come as no surprise that the effect of CAMRA will be to deter community groups from speaking out about air quality to avoid the risk of crippling penalties. And if groups cannot tell their story, they will be deterred from engaging in air monitoring in the first place. Meanwhile, as I mentioned, CAMRA puts no restrictions on industry speech. Polluters remain free to tell the public their stories without fear that the state will impose penalties on their speech. In that way, CAMRA not only regulates speech content, but discriminates based on the identity of the speaker. CAMRA will not make air monitoring information more accurate. Instead, it creates a classic censorship regime that will deprive the public of valuable information about air quality from groups that are working on behalf of the residents of Louisiana rather than their own financial self-interest. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Nandan Joshi, attorney with the Public Citizen Litigation Group. Next, we have Dr. Joy Banner, co-founder and co-director of the Descendants Project. Go ahead, Dr. Banner.
Hello, my name is Dr. Joy Banner, she said, co-director and co-founder of the Descendants Project. And I am joining you from St. John the Baptist Parish in my community of Wallace. In my neighborhood, we sit directly across the Mississippi River from an aluminum smelting plant. This plant releases volatile chemicals such as mercury, forever chemicals, in addition to the other chemicals in particulate matter that is present in the air. We're in the middle of Louisiana's Cancer Alley. We rely on air monitors to ensure that we have the adequate and quality data to protect our neighbors and our families from the pollutants and the health impact causing chemicals that are in the air. The CAMRA Act is not one that is the CAMRA Act is not one that is designed to help improve our health quality and standards. It is one to detract and to diminish our right to free speech. There are many people out there who think that we should not have air monitors. We should not have air monitors because we should not have to be the ones monitoring our air. My community is one of the most vulnerable. Our risk of cancer is higher than 95% of the rest of the country, but yet the burden of protecting our health and protecting our air lies with us. But with that being said, we still rely, we need, and we appreciate the methods and the air monitors that have been approved by the EPA in many cases, and also funded by grants from the EPA. There is no reason why our speech, our data should be, questioned and diminished. Lastly, I would like to say that my community of Wallace is called a free community. Is known as a free community. That's because my ancestors who were enslaved at the neighboring plantations after fighting for their freedom in the Civil War came back and established these free towns for them and for their descendants. It is ironic that in the year 2025 that those freedoms are being taken away from us. Again, we need our monitors. They are our one of our best weapons, best protections against the polluted air that we are being forced to breathe on a daily basis. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Dr. Joy Banner, co-founder and co-director of the Descendants Project. Reporters, as we're going along here, if you have a question, as a reminder, use the Q&A function at the bottom of your screen. Look for a Q&A button on the bottom of your screen to type in your questions to get them queued up. We'd have love to have them at the end. Also, at 1 o'clock today, Dr. Joy Banner will be available for TV interviews out in the field with a good backdrop for a TV interview. If you're interested, give me a call afterwards. Next, we have Dr. Peter DiCarlo, Johns Hopkins University air pollution scientist and associate professor of environmental health and engineering. Go ahead, Dr. DiCarlo.
Hello, thank you for allowing me to speak on this panel today. I want to start this out by saying my remarks here are my own in my capacity as an air pollution scientist, and they're not made on behalf of Johns Hopkins University. That being said, I want to make three kind of key points today with respect to the discussion on community level air monitoring in Louisiana. The first being regulatory monitoring instrumentation is typically not even the best available technology for measuring air pollutants in the air. Number two, regulatory monitoring is not adequate to understand the cancer and non-cancer risks for communities in Louisiana based on the chemicals that they're breathing. And the third and final point I wish to make is that community needs should be met by the regulatory agencies. And when they are not, researchers such as myself and the communities should not be threatened for seeking to understand what is in the air that they breathe. So number one, regulatory monitors serve a purpose and they've been approved for use in monitoring air pollution by regulatory agencies, but they are not the best available technology for measuring the chemicals that are in our air. The scientific research community has and continues to develop new instrumentation to measure more chemicals faster and with more accuracy than the regulatory instrumentation that is used by regulatory agencies. These advanced instruments are capable of making mobile measurements of air pollutants from a moving vehicle with faster than 1 second resolution and can map out where the highest pollutant concentrations are. My group and other researchers have and continue to do this so that we can identify cancer and non-cancer health risks for communities living near to industrial facilities. Which brings me to point two. In many cases, measurements of the most harmful species are not even being done. For chemicals which there are with and for chemicals which they are being done, they're not done frequently enough or do not have the appropriate spatial coverage to measure air pollutants at the community level. This is especially true for ethylene oxide in Louisiana. Regulatory ethylene oxide measurements in Cancer Alley were not available when we performed spatial measurements of this chemical in February of 2023. This, despite regulatory models of cancer risk for the river parishes, showing it to be the air pollutant responsible for the largest overall cancer risk for communities in Cancer Alley. Our measurement data that we collected showed cancer risks that were 10 times higher than the models from regulatory agencies. And this really demonstrates the need for these important measurements, which again are not being done. Simply put, regulatory measurements need to be done in a way that quantifies the risk to community health, which means better spatial coverage, more frequent measurements, and most importantly, measuring the chemicals that pose the highest health risks. Without this, there is a void in our understanding of community health risks from air pollution in places like Cancer Alley. And number three, this need really must be met, as Dr. Banner pointed out, by the state agencies that are charged with monitoring the environment and protecting the residents of Louisiana. But where there is a need, there's an opportunity, and community groups and air pollution researchers have stepped in to try to address that need. The state should be finding ways to meet that need, not passing legislation to penalize communities and researchers who are simply trying to understand how the air pollutants coming from industrial facilities are impacting the health and lives of communities in Louisiana. Thanks.
Thank you. That was Dr. Peter DiCarlo of Johns Hopkins University. Next, we have Kate Lyon Hunter, Director of Research and Policy at RISE St. James, Louisiana. Go ahead, Kate Lyon.
Good morning. I'm very glad to be here on behalf of RISE St. James, Louisiana. RISE St. James is a faith-based grassroots organization that is fighting for environmental justice as we work to defeat the proliferation of petrochemical industries. I'm also serving as local counsel on this case. I want to start out with just why community air monitoring is so needed in our fence line communities all across the state. Many of these communities are historically and majority Black or Indigenous and all predate the arrival of polluting industry. Many fence line communities, including the 5th District of St. James Parish, rank in or over the 95th percentile nationwide for risk of developing cancer due to exposure to toxic air pollution. One of the carcinogens that causes the most cancer risk in Louisiana is ethylene oxide. Fence line communities within a mile of ethylene oxide emitting plants have 24 times the national cancer risk. Dr. DiCarlo's study estimated that a great deal of health hazards in Cancer Alley are caused by ethylene oxide. However, statewide, LDEQ does not conduct any air monitoring for ethylene oxide. Despite 20 of the last 24 plants built in St. James Parish being cited in the majority Black 5th and 4th districts, LDEQ only installed an air monitor in the 5th district last year. Unfortunately, this monitor is temporary and is set to go offline next year. The one other monitor in St. James Parish measures just ozone. The one air monitor in Ascension Parish is located nearly 3 miles away from the largest polluters. In St. John Parish, the only LDEQ monitors there are for ozone and lead. It doesn't monitor for chloroprene, despite the census block surrounding the Danka DuPont chloroprene plant once having the highest risk of cancer in the country. The only monitor in St. Charles Parish measures sulfur dioxide, despite a huge tank farm that releases many harmful VOCs and other carcinogens. We have a huge problem here in Louisiana with inadequate monitoring for the type of heavy industry that we see here, partly because our legislature does not adequately fund our environmental department. This is why grant-funded monitors and academic studies like Dr. DiCarlo's are so important for us to get any information about hazardous chemicals in our air. The state doesn't monitor for many carcinogens, like I said, ethylene oxide or chloroprene, or doesn't monitor for them where it is needed most, and doesn't require polluting industry to conduct public monitoring either. In fact, Louisiana challenged the EPA Hahn rule, which would require polluting industry to conduct publicly available air monitoring for vinyl chloride, ethylene oxide, chloroprene, and other hazardous chemicals. It ends up being the burden of polluted communities to not only bear the effects of pollution, but to assume the duties of the state environmental agency by conducting community air monitoring. I challenged this law every step of the way as it made its way through the legislature last year, and I am beyond proud to stand with the incredible attorneys at EIP and Public Citizen as we mount today's challenge in federal court. To anyone else who has thought about standing up to bad laws, do it. Your voice has incredible power, as we see today. CAMRA was written and introduced by industry groups fearing what community air monitoring would reveal. Because there is no state monitoring for many of the most dangerous chemicals released, industry's numbers on emissions have been allowed to go on unchallenged. But now, community groups have the power, the science, and the funding to prove what they have known and experienced for decades. The air pollution from petrochemical and other polluting industry is destroying their communities. We will not allow CAMRA to silence the science.
Thanks so much. That was Caitlin Hunter, Director of Research and Policy at RISE St. James, Louisiana. As a reminder, reporters, as you have questions, use the Q&A function at the bottom of your screen. Type your question into that Q&A. We'd love to get your questions at the end, so put them in there. Next, we have Amy Stelly, Executive Director of the Claiborne Avenue Alliance Design Studio. Go ahead, Amy.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning, everyone. Simply put, CAMRA is punitive. It is designed to publish organizations working for the good of the order in fence-lined and marginalized communities. This law supports bad actors and encourages them to continue harming the good people of Louisiana. In addition to favoring industry over community, CAMRA also prohibits the publication of air monitoring data from pollutants emitted by vehicles on urban highways. As a result, we have decided to remove the air quality data that we collected from our website. We began monitoring the air quality around I-10 in New Orleans because we know from our research that traffic-related pollutants can be as damaging to public health as pollutants from industrial facilities. So it's important to measure the chemicals on a regular basis. In a nutshell, the citizen science work of the Claiborne Avenue Alliance has served as a model for communities across the country. Our data illustrates the harm from air and noise pollution that communities gutted by urban highways face on a daily basis. The people of Louisiana have a right to know what's in their environment, and they have a right to demand remedies when they are injured. This law is oppressive and seeks to keep citizens in the dark. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Amy Stelly. And now we have our final speaker, Cynthia Robertson, Executive Director of the MICA 6-8 Mission. Go ahead, Cynthia.
Good morning, and thank you all for being here. My name is Cynthia Robertson, and I serve as the Executive Director of MICA 6-8 Mission, a community-based organization in Southwest Louisiana committed to environmental justice, disaster resilience, and public health. I am proud to stand here today with the other community groups from across Louisiana who are fighting back against a law that was written to keep people in the dark, literally, about what's in the air we breathe. The so-called Community Air Monitoring Reliability Act, or CAMRA, is not about protecting public health or ensuring good science. It's about silencing communities like mine who have been using low-cost, reliable air monitors like Purple Air devices and an EPA-funded particulate matter and NOx sensor to uncover pollution that the state and industry have chosen not to report. We started our monitoring near the Westlake Chemical Complex in Sulphur after hearing from residents who live, work, and raise their children near the facility. Over two-thirds of the days we monitored showed particulate matter levels that the EPA considers unhealthy, especially for children, seniors, and people with asthma or heart disease. So, what were we supposed to do? Ignore that? We shared those findings on Facebook to raise awareness. We did, but not now. Now, under CAMRA, simply posting that kind of data could cost us $32,500 per day, plus up to $1 million for so-called intentional violations. That's not just chilling, that's censorship, and it's dangerous. This is about more than data. It's about human lives. At our community event this past Sunday, I asked the 47 people in the room to raise their hands, and everybody did. Then I asked them to lower their hands if they or someone they love who lives in our region has cancer, then COPD, then heart disease, and finally asthma. And one by one, every single hand dropped. That image will stay with me forever. 47 hands raised in hope, and not a single hand left standing. That wouldn't happen in most places in this country. That level of illness wouldn't be accepted anywhere else without outrage and action. But here in Southwest Louisiana, it's our reality. And the state's response is to silence us instead of protecting us. People deserve to know if the very air surrounding their homes, schools, and churches is filled with benzene, ethylene oxide, or dangerous levels of fine particulate matter. The state should be thanking community groups for helping collect this data, not threatening us for doing their job. Camera isn't about science. It's about control. And it's about protecting polluters at the expense of the public. We're bringing this lawsuit because we all believe our communities have the right to gather, to share, and to act on the truth. We believe in science that serves the people, not just the industry. And we believe in the power of neighbors helping neighbors. Because when government won't protect us, we must protect each other. The air in Louisiana should belong to the people of Louisiana, not just to the chemical plants that line our rivers, fence in our neighborhoods, and poison our futures. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Cynthia Robertson, Executive Director of the MICA 6-8 Mission.